without barking at you too much. Signs of the time are appearing everywhere. Wars and strife on every hand. And violence fills our land. Lift up your head. Redemption draws nigh. There is an amazing fact. And that amazing fact is Jesus is coming back. And the Word of God says, encourage each other with that fact. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and following, we find some of the most exciting words in all of Scripture. Yet I think we miss so much of what is said in these verses. Now, back in April, I preached from these verses on a Sunday evening. And I've had several of you request that I do it again for a Sunday morning. I love preaching on these verses, so it was not hard to say yes to that request. Listen to the reading of God's word. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. In the Thessalonican culture, there was confusion and even some fears about the resurrection and concerning and about what may happen to those believers in Jesus Christ that had already died. In these three short verses, we find six different things that are to happen. And so we will look at these six things this morning. First of all, it says, the Lord himself will come down from heaven. The first event of the rapture, the first event when Jesus comes to take his church home, when he comes to receive his bride to himself, the first thing will be the appearance of the Lord himself. The Lord Jesus Christ will rip open the heavens, and he will miraculously appear in glory and power and honor. and all of creation will witness this. Say, preacher, how is that going to happen that everybody's going to see it at one time? I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter. The Bible says it's going to happen, and it's going to happen. Amen. Just that simple. The howls and the winds are not my concern. That's for God to take care of. Three things will accompany the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ when he comes. The first thing is that the Lord will appear with a loud command. Now, understand what I just said. The Lord will appear with a loud command. He is the one that is to issue this command. He will speak. It appears that the commander-in-chief of all of heaven will shout a command that is louder than any voice has ever shouted before in all of creation. Now, we can't be 100% sure, but in line with Scripture and in line with the teachings that God has given us, we're reasonably sure that the command that the Lord himself will give will be a command to wake up or come up out of the grave. It'll be a command to those that have died in Christ to get up from wherever it is that they are. At the same time, or split second thereafter, as the Lord appears and issues this command to wake up, the archangel will cry out. Now, this is likely the archangel Michael, who has been mentioned numerous times in Scripture. What will Michael the archangel, or whichever archangel it is, what will he shout? Again, quite likely, it will be a rallying cry for all of the angelic beings of heaven. It will be a cry to bring all of the cherubim and the seraphim and the other angelic beings of heaven together. Matthew chapter 24, verse 31 says, "And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds and from one end of heaven to the other." And in chapter 25, verse 31, it says, "When the Son of Man shall come in glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon his throne of glory." Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem and the shepherds were out on the hillside that night, the Scripture tells us that there was a great multitude of the heavenly host that appeared unto the shepherds, and they were praising God and proclaiming his glory in the highest. There is no indication there as to the fact that there may have been all of the heavenly beings there, and so we don't really believe that that was the case. There was a multitude, there was a large number of heavenly beings there that appeared to the shepherds that night. But when the Lord Jesus Christ steps out of heaven onto a cloud and shouts his call for us to wake up, to come up out of the grave when the archangel calls the angels and the heavenly beings together, it will be every angel ever created by the will of God, all assembling together to pay homage to the Lord Jesus Christ as he appears. And then, I love this part, the trumpet of God will sound. Now there are trumpets, and there are trumpets. There are trumpets, and there are what we call herald trumpets. Trumpets are about that long. And they're one of the most beautiful, one of the loudest, one of the clearest sounding instruments in all of the orchestra or the band. Herald trumpets are about three times the length of a standard trumpet. And their sound is so much more brilliant and so much more attention gathering than that of a regular trumpet. But the trumpet has always been used all throughout history to arouse people, to call groups of people to attention, to give warning. And so as Jesus steps out on a cloud and the archangel shouts and Jesus shouts and the trumpet sounds, the whole universe, both heaven and earth, believers and unbelievers alike, will be aroused. Our attention will be called for. And the Lord Jesus is now appearing. And the events of the end time will now be launched upon the earth. Then the dead in Christ will rise. Got that? Not long ago, I had the opportunity to preach a funeral service up in Ocala. And as we got to the graveside part of the service, I said to the family and friends gathered there, I said, I love this part. I love being here. Isn't this an exciting place to be? Got some strange looks. I said, as you look out across this place and you see all of these markers that tell you that various individuals are there, or at least their earthly remains are there, I said, there's coming a time when this place is going to be like a popcorn machine. And it's going to start popping up. And those that have died believing in Jesus Christ are going to come busting out of there. How exciting is that? The second part of what is being talked about here is the dead in Christ rising up. Why did they go first? You know, we've been asking that question forever.
How come he gets to go first? How come the dead get to go first?
Well, I don't know if this is all the reason or not, but it makes sense to me. The Thessalonican culture when the believers began to be taught about the second coming of Jesus Christ, there was a fear that those Christians that had already died would get left behind. And so, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, Paul lays those fears to rest as he says to them, when Jesus comes back to gather his church unto himself, the first ones that he's going to get are those that have already died believing in him. Understand now, out of all the people that have died, only the Christ followers will be resurrected at this time. This is far different than our culture seems to teach. In the culture we live in, it appears to me that there is a belief that everybody that dies is going to heaven. I've been with some folks and known the person that died. And I can tell you that if there's any truth at all to God's word, that person is split hell wide open. And yet I hear those folks talking about how much of a better place they're in. And that we'll get to be together in heaven someday. There's a Greek term for that, guys. It's just not so. Only those that have died believing in Jesus Christ will be resurrected at this time. Amen. Now, there will be a resurrection for the non-believers, but we're not getting there today. No unbelievers, no non-believers will be resurrected at this point. Understand, in this resurrection, it will be the resurrection of the bodies of the believers. The bodies of the believers. The believers themselves, their soul, their spirit, are already with the Lord. Paul's already clarified that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Death happens, according to medical science, when the heart stops. The reality is death happens and the heart stops when God removes the spirit of life from that shell. And so, those bodies are resurrected. Those bodies are raised and transformed forever to live with the living God. The shout of the Lord to come out, much as Jesus stood before the grave of Lazarus that day so long ago and called Lazarus to come out of the grave. That shout of the Lord will call together all the pieces and parts and particles of a person's bodies, no matter where those various parts and pieces of a person's body may be, the atoms of that body will be transformed to structure forming an eternal and perfected body. It does not matter whether that body has been buried and decayed, whether that body has been cremated, whether that body has been consumed by animals, whether that body has been lost at sea and eaten by fish, it just does not matter. When Jesus steps out on the cloud and calls the dead to wake up and get up and come out, all of those bodies from wherever those particles and atoms and neutrons and protons and whatever kind of trons they may be, all of them will come together and form a resurrected body of that individual person. And if I'm still living, I get to see that happen. My mind goes back to the mid-80s, and I was pastoring a church up in Putnam County. And one of our deacons died, and he was a dear friend. And his wife had him cremated. And after his cremains were returned to her, she called me on the phone one day and she said, "Preacher, I need you to do something for me." I said, "Okay, what is it?" She said, "I want you to come get Don's remains and spread them out on the churchyard." Well, that was a new one for me. I said, "Okay." And so I went and got Don. Brought him back to the church, opened up the cardboard box they had him in, ripped open the plastic bag, and started walking around the churchyard just spreading Don out. My first experience with cremains, I didn't realize that there were so many chunks. But when this happens, when Jesus steps out on the cloud, those chunks and ashes and bits and pieces of Don are all going to come swirling together on that churchyard, and he's going to rise up. Wouldn't mind me standing in that churchyard, see my friend come together. The third thing that's going to happen is that we that are still alive will be caught up or raised up right after the dead in Christ have risen. Now, that means that our bodies is going to fly from here to yonder. And while that's happening, there's going to be a glorious transformation. Because our bodies are going to be different when we get there from when we leave here. 1 Corinthians 15:53 says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." The nature of our bodies as believers in Jesus Christ in this present time is that they are corruptible and they are mortal. The nature of that new body will be incorruptible or an immortal. That means that what I have here ages, deteriorates, dies, has the ability to decay and decompose. But when I leave here with that, I'm going to get there with a body that cannot age. It can't get any older. It can't deteriorate. It can't ache. It can't pain. It can't... It can't get sick. It won't cough. But it'll be a perfected body that is designed by and created by God the Father to live in perfection with Him for eternity. And then there will be the great union of the living and the dead. We who are alive will be caught up together with them which were dead and are now alive again. We will be joined together with them in the presence of King Jesus so that we can all be together forever. Amen. You got that? Amen. Wow. Wow. Somebody you love died and they loved Jesus before they died. You're going to be with them, all right? Right then and for eternity. You're going to get to see them. It's going to be a day of rejoicing. It's going to be a day of happy tears. It's going to be a day of laughing. Because you're going to look at each other and remember what you used to look like. What a day. Songwriter said, what a day of rejoicing that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When He takes me by the hand, leads me through the promised land. What a day of rejoicing that will be. And as the TV announcer would say, but wait, there's more. Because all this has happened, and then we begin the experience of living face to face with Jesus. Face to face with Jesus. We've been living with him in our hearts. We've been living with him in our minds. But he says we're going to be caught up. We're going to be raised up. We're going to be lifted up. We're going to be united with him and reunited with our loved ones. And we're going to be face to face with the King of Kings forever and ever and ever and ever. The most wonderful event that I can possibly think of ever happening in all of God's created glory is that instant, that moment when we get to experience being face to face with King Jesus for the first time. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. And all of this is going to happen in the twinkling of an eye. It's going to happen so fast it'll make your head spin. I know what that's like. I get up too fast, my head spins because of all the medicine I take. I'm practicing for when King Jesus steps out on a cloud. That instant, that moment, when we see Jesus face to face. The songwriter says, I've just seen Jesus, the one who died in my place. I've just seen Jesus. And oh, what love and what grace. I've just seen Jesus and looked full in his wonderful face. I've just seen Jesus and all is well. It's well. It's well with my soul. And then we are told to do something. Paul has spent this time telling us what King Jesus is going to do. What's going to happen to us as a result of what King Jesus is going to do. And then we are told to do something. The word says, encourage one another with these words. You know, God doesn't reveal the events of the end time to satisfy our curiosity. He tells us about these glorious events to come so that we can be prepared, so that we can encourage others. And so that we can encourage others to be prepared as well. Now, I want to say something to you. Based on the truth of these three verses, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have no need And you have no reason to be discouraged by anything that happens on this earth. And I know that sometimes your life gets tough. And I know about the sicknesses and the pains and the finances. And I know about all that stuff. But if you are a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, you have no reason to allow that stuff to be a discourager in your life. Because on top of all that stuff, you have these promises, these assurances. And God wants you to use them for your encouragement. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have no earthly reason for extreme sorrow or grief. Well, my husband died, my son died, my daughter died, I'm dying. Okay. Well, it hurts. Yes, it does. And you grieve. Yes, you do. But you don't grieve like those who have no hope. You don't get eat up by it. You don't let it destroy you. You don't let it become the entire focus of your life. Because on top of that pain and on top of that loss and on top of that grief, on top of that sorrow, you have the words of Jesus Christ that says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise, and those of us which remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord forever, eternally. The Lord has given us the most wonderful hope. And that most wonderful hope, Trey, is that there's coming a day when you and I are going to spend forever and ever and ever and ever face to face, eyeball to eyeball with Jesus. And we will be worshiping him and honoring him. Praising him. Luke chapter 20 verse 36 says, watch this. You gotta get this. Neither can they die anymore? For they are equal to the angels, and they are the children of God, being children of the resurrection. Got that? Neither can they die anymore. 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, being a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Listen, guys, if you are a Christ follower, this is good news. It doesn't get any better than this. And if you are not a Christ follower, since you're breathing this morning, and Jesus hasn't stepped out on a cloud yet, it's time for you to change that and become a Christ follower so you can have the truth of this good news as a part of your life too. I need to read the verses one more time as we wrap this up. For the Lord Himself. Got that? The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. With the voice of the archangel. Hey, all you angelic beings, get over here. Watch what Jesus is about to do. And with the trump of God. Wow. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. There they go. Bits and pieces and particles and atoms all swirling together, coming together. That which was decayed is perfected. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Face to face with Jesus. Amen. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Once we're face to face with Jesus, we will forever be face to face with Jesus. So, comfort, encourage each other with these words. Father, unto you we give praise, honor, and glory. I pray, if there's one in this house without Christ as Savior, this would be the day. This would be the moment they confess Jesus as Lord. Then I pray for the church, the Christ followers, Jesus people. God, encourage them today. In Jesus' name, amen.